Why just listen when you can connect? We're 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. Hi there, I'm Mary Lynn.
I'm Diane Ducey.
And we've got a guest on the phone with us. Colin Hitt is the Director of Policy for Illinois Policy Institute, for the Illinois Policy Institute. And you'll find them at illinoispolicy.org. And Colin, every year you guys come up with a budget plan that will help us, the state of Illinois, not be in debt, right?
Well, yes, that's exactly right. Every year the Institute puts out what we call Budget Solutions. And Budget Solutions 2012 was a detailed line-by-line proposal for the state general fund budget that's balanced and sustainable.
Right. And as I was reading on your site, had Illinois adopted your budget solution in 2010, we would not have had to have a tax increase. We would not have had to borrow to pay off our pension obligations, and our debt would be down by, a half a billion?
A considerable amount.
Okay.
Well, there's two things to keep in mind. Had lawmakers implemented our recommended budget plan last year, there would have been no need to raise taxes. In fact, our budget plan was designed precisely for that purpose, to show that the state can fund core government services, make the required payment to retired government employee pension funds, and also not have to increase taxes. However, they did increase taxes, and revenues are going to reach record levels. What's interesting this year is that Governor Quinn's proposed budget spends even more than what than the tax revenue available, despite the fact that we've just had a record tax increase. Our budget that we put forward this year would have been balanced had no tax hike been in effect. But because record tax revenues are coming in, it would create a very sizable budget surplus, which we would hope would open the door to lowering tax rates back down right away.
Okay. Well, and if you want to read the complete report, and there's a video that you can watch also that kind of showcases and highlights some of the things that are in this report, you can go to illinoispolicy.org, but we've also posted the link on our Facebook page, MyConnect FM. So, first of all, I was just astounded by some of the numbers that you have as far as data points to consider about Illinois, that we're 48th in job creation.
Yeah, by all accounts, the state of Illinois is hemorrhaging people. According to the American Legislative Exchange Council, that over the last decade, we're 48th.
Wow.
In migration. According to the U.S. Department of Commerce, since 1990, Illinois has lost 1 million people on balance to other states. That's how many more people have chosen to leave here than come here.
Wow.
that live somewhere in America. According to our own research, even, that since 1995, we've lost at least 230,000 people to our bordering states.
Mm.
And it's because we're not competitive. It's because our taxes are too high, and it's because the burden of doing business here is too high. Our budget plan reverses course there.
Okay. Well, let's talk about your budget plan.
Sure.
I mean, because how are you guys able to come up with money or with a plan that doesn't require an increase in taxes and still covers and doesn't require borrowing and doesn't require overspending? How are you guys able to do this? I mean, what is the main thing that you're doing in your plan that the governor isn't doing in his?
Well, we do two things. One, we have an eye on what the economic realities are. We know not only how much money the state has now, but how much it's going to have in a couple of years. That allows us to know what it means to have a balanced budget and what it means to have a sustainable budget. And then within that real world, we set priorities. And what that means is we fund core government services first.
Okay.
Before pet projects. But we also recommend policy changes that will allow us to get better results for the money that we spend.
Okay.
Take education, for example.
All right. Wonderful.
Huge portion of our budget, right? Florida spends $1,000 less per pupil than the state of Illinois does, but gets remarkably better results, especially for poor and minority children, because they've got good public policy that guarantees that their tax dollars are spent wisely and they drive student learning.
So what's an example of a policy that helps?
Okay. Well, Florida, for example, and what Illinois should have, is an unprecedented array of school choice programs. No parent is trapped in a failing school without options in the state of Florida. That should be the truth. in Illinois. Mm-hmm. Second of all, Florida's school accountability system, as opposed to putting out jargonish percentages with school statistics, says simply this. Your school is graded A, B, C, D, or F. It's the same thing the Better Business Bureau does for businesses. They do that for schools, and it conveys real information to taxpayers and parents about the quality of their school.
And why don't we have that? Or is that, do they have tenure as well?
In Florida, yes, they do have tenure, although okay. I think you've heard the debates across the country. Unfortunately, Governor Charlie Crist in Florida vetoed a bill last year that would have done away with teacher tenure as we know it and replaced it with a system of merit-based promotion and okay. compensation. The new governor of Florida has given every indication that if his legislature sends that again, he'll sign it. That's something also that we need to keep in mind is states like Florida that in education policy and economic policy that are already outpacing Illinois aren't resting on their laurels. They're not saying we're doing better than these big hemorrhaging blue states of Illinois and New York and California, so we're just going to stand pat. They're driving even they're charging even harder.
Okay. Well, how do we make sure, because, I mean, we're hearing now that schools might be consolidated and that there needs to be cut in transportation costs, and we've got schools who are waiting for money. How does school choice change that situation? I mean, what are the things that need to be done to make sure the schools are getting the money that they're owed and that we don't have to make more cuts to education?
Schools aren't getting their money on time because we're overspending. When you make five promises but only have enough money to fund three,
okay.
nobody gets their money on time.
What's a promise that has been made that is preventing the schools from getting their money? Where is that money going?
Well, take for example the issue that's within the budget that we can't do anything to change right now but has to be changed.
Okay.
The issue of public employee pension fund costs. Last year, the state of Illinois was supposed to spend $3.7 billion. They're supposed to send that amount of money to the retirement funds that fund the pensions of retired public employee workers.
Right.
This year, that number is $4.5 billion. By 2016, that number is going to be $6 billion, and some folks think by the end of the decade, it might be $12.
Okay.
Nobody is going to have an opportunity to see maintained and timely funding unless those systems are reformed.
Okay. But it seems like there's a constitutional issue there, as I've been reading, that these pensions, these benefits have been promised and that there's nothing that can be done to stop that.
Well, there's no doubt that union lobbyists and the folks who have fought so hard for decades to get lawmakers to overpromise mm-hmm. are insisting that future promises are also ensconced in law. That mm-hmm. the state of Illinois has no choice but to keep promising things that it cannot afford. Nobody is talking about cutting the retirement of folks who are already retired. Nobody's talking about looking back at people who have worked for government for 10, 15, 20 years and saying, look, we know you've paid this much, but you're only going to get this much. What everybody agrees needs to happen economically mm-hmm. is moving forward, there needs to be a different deal. You've earned the benefits to date according to our agreements with one another. But going forward, taxpayers cannot continue to subsidize your retirement like they have.
Okay.
Most folks who have done a detailed analysis think that that is not unconstitutional. But again, union lobbyists and their friends within state government insist that it is. And it's a persuasive argument, but it's false.
Okay. So what you're saying is if something isn't done about this, then more and more, then, I mean, schools are just going to keep going broke. So basically, at the expense of our kids, we'll be paying these benefits?
In essence, yes.
Okay.
The outsized costs of public employee compensation, especially post-retirement benefits, is going to crowd out everything in the state budget. And you better believe it's going to happen at the municipal level as well, who are responsible for their own pension plans, unless we see some type of reform.
Wow. And what kind of reform do you recommend? I mean, as you see that around the country, some governors are trying to reform collective bargaining, all of that kind of stuff. Is there a way that Illinois can do so without having all of the ruckus?
I'm afraid this is not a ruckus-free proposition. This is the policy issue that union lobbyists made their name on over the years. Lawmakers are ready to give away as much as taxpayers can possibly afford. Where union lobbyists make their money is getting lawmakers to give away things that taxpayers can't afford.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an existential battle for those special interest groups. You better believe it.
Well, and if you're just tuning in, we're talking with Colin Hitt. And Colin is the policy director for the Illinois Policy Institute. They've come out with their alternative budget for 2012 that would actually, I mean, we wouldn't have had to have, we wouldn't have to have the tax hike increase. We won't have to borrow money, and government wouldn't overspend. I guess with this report, Colin, who is going to be the most upset? You know, who is going to fight you? I mean, first of all, I don't know. Has Governor Quinn asked you about your report? Has anybody at our state capitol said, hey, we'd really like to take a look at this? This is pretty incredible.
We've not heard from the Quinn administration. They've not sought our input on the state budget. Okay. However, we're in dialogue with lawmakers on both sides of the aisle and in both chambers in Springfield about both our general budget plan and then specific issues within it.
Okay. Who is going to fight what you've come up with? Who would be most upset or most hurt or most hit by your alternative budget?
Well, in essence, the people who don't want to admit economic realities, the folks who have insisted that state government keeps spending more and more money every year, even though at this point we're borrowing and bonding out just to generate cash in order to keep state government afloat, which in effect robs from future budgets. It's completely unsustainable.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, similar to somebody, a friend you might have, who you simply cannot convince to stop spending mm-hmm. on their credit card every month, those are the folks who are going to be resistant to this plan. But here are the facts.
Okay.
In 2016, Illinois is going to have $33 billion come in the door. It's a healthy amount of money.
Yeah.
But after the bond payments and pension payments the state government is required to make, you're going to have $25.5 billion left over for programs and transfers and the types of things that people actually think about when they think about state government. Governor Quinn this year proposed to spend 28.7. It is entirely unsustainable, and if we stick to his plan over years, we're going to start falling behind $3, $4, $5 billion a time, year after year. And by the end of the decade, the wheels are going to completely come off.
Do you think that we're going to file for bankruptcy? Because if we file for bankruptcy as a state, then are we still obligated to? If you file for bankruptcy, then you can't. I mean, if you're overextended in money that you owe to people, then does that kind of let you off the hook?
Well, this is a very interesting issue. Unfortunately or fortunately, right now, state governments cannot file for bankruptcy.
Okay.
What's being discussed in Congress is passing legislation that would allow them to do so. Now, of course, this is controversial and impactful. Typically, when somebody files for bankruptcy, the first thing that's on the table are their contracts.
Mm-hmm.
The receivers require them to open up in every single contract and abrogate the promises that they made in the past. Mm-hmm. In Illinois, that means, in essence, the contracts with the public employee unions. That's okay. A controversial issue. But absent a bankruptcy law that would allow you to do that, it's not going to do anything to help the state balance its books, and it's going to look a lot more like a bailout of the banks and GM and of the states a couple of years ago if we move in that direction.
Okay.
So on the one hand, bankruptcy allows a clean slate, but most likely it resembles a bailout. And I don't think I have to tell you that the national mood right now is not one that's friendly to further bailouts, especially to the state of Illinois.
Well, okay, I've got some more questions to ask you. Can you hang on? We've got to take a quick break, and then we'll come back and just wrap it up with you.
Love to.
Okay, wonderful. 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. We're talking with Colin Hitt from the Illinois Policy Institute. Your three-day forecast, direct from the National Weather Service, first thing in the morning, and throughout the hour, throughout your busy day. We're 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. A little snow in the forecast. Diane will get you filled in on that here coming up on Connect FM. It's 12:46. I'm Mary Lynn.
I'm Diane Ducey.
And Colin Hitt is with us. Colin's the Director of Policy for the Illinois Policy Institute. And every year, the Illinois Policy Institute comes out with a budget proposal of their own. And every year, it's always better than the ones that we get from our legislators. Mm-hmm. And so we've been talking with Colin about this incredible plan that doesn't require a tax increase, that doesn't require borrowing, and that cuts spending and puts Illinois back on track to be a state that people would want to come to and that businesses would want to stay in and also come to. We were talking a little bit about pension reform. You say, Colin, that that's just it has to happen somehow, some way. How do we it seems like such a touchy subject. And, you know, we've had a teacher call us and she's been paying into her pension and, you know, she's close to retirement. And, you know, and so I don't think that she's a bad guy because this is a deal that she was offered. And I don't think that, you know, I'm a private sector person and I do feel a little resentment that I don't have the same kind of benefits and things like that. How do we have a dialogue about this, Colin, where we don't villainize each other? Because it seems like that's what's happening now across the country.
Well, one, we start by telling the truth. Take this your example of this teacher. You know, we all
She's fantastic, and she's worked her tail off. And, you know, why should she be to blame for the fact for the situation we're in now?
Absolutely. And here's an example of telling the truth. She's told year after year that the retirement she's due, it comes from money that she's paid.
Mm-hmm.
And it's her union, and it's the retirement system that tells her that. It's not a fact. The fact is she has contributed some of her money, but taxpayers on balance are subsidizing a huge portion of her pension. Now, she is due that pension. She was promised certain retirement benefits, and she should get them, and she kept her job because they were promised.
Mm-hmm.
But going forward, we need to be honest about who is going to foot the cost of retirement for people who work for government.
Okay.
And right now, it's taxpayers. And taxpayers are out of money. State government is going to be out of money. So going forward, teachers should have retirement plans that resemble those that we see in the private sector.
Mm-hmm. So
where taxpayers are not on the hook for folks' retirements, but employers do provide retirement benefits,
mm-hmm.
just competitive benefits.
Okay. Well, that makes sense, but then I guess as she's trying to figure out what her retirement is going to look like in the future, it's not going to, in all likelihood, well, for her, it will probably look like what she has been promised, right?
That's exactly right. Imagine she retired tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
She's already earned a certain amount of benefits. Nobody's going to take those benefits away. Similarly, if she keeps working,
mm-hmm.
those benefits that she's earned to date should be the same.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody should try and renegotiate past promises, but nobody should also pretend that past promises are set in stone for everybody going forward.
Okay.
Because the simple math of the situation dictates that it can't happen.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. So that makes sense. It's just, let's talk real. What can we do starting now going forward to make a change? Do you think that that is going to happen with our legislators in Springfield? Do you think that this year will be the year that they say, okay, we've got to make a change?
Well, we certainly hope so. The House of Representatives in Springfield is making much more attractive noise about this issue on both sides of the aisle. Speaker Madigan and Minority Leader Tom Cross are both saying good things. Less so over in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
And Governor Quinn has been completely mum.
Okay.
So we will see. But you will hear this conversation get louder and louder every year until at least one of two things happens. We see pension reform in the state of Illinois. Goes belly up.
Okay. And one more thing. Again, if you want to check out the complete report from the Illinois Policy Institute, we've got it on our Facebook page, MyConnectFM, or just go to illinoispolicy.org, and you'll be able to download a copy of it. Medicaid, you say, is something else that we've really got to tackle.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Over the last 20 years, Medicaid costs in the Illinois state budget have gone from 10% of what we spend to 30%. Of what we spend.
Okay.
It's unheard of inflation. We've got to find a way to rein that in.
And you guys aren't saying, in your report, you guys aren't saying that we cut expenses to the elderly, to those who are disabled, to those who need it most.
Of course not. This is a core government service, part of the basic social safety net of state government. We're not saying start from scratch, but here's the issue. Is the Obama administration and the former Congress have passed requirements that Illinois or any other state cannot cut eligibility on 98% mm-hmm. of its coverage.
Yeah.
So you have one option to cut costs that Governor Quinn sees, mm-hmm. and that's to reduce what are called reimbursement rates. And those are, in effect, the rates that the state agrees to pay for any number of procedures, mm-hmm. to nursing home stays, particular operations, emergency room visits. We agree that you have got to get costs under control, but there's a problem with reducing reimbursement rates. It makes doctors a lot less likely to treat Medicaid patients. Mm-hmm. It hurts the quality of care. And we hope that that's not the only direction the state of Illinois can go in. So what we proposed is this, that the state of Illinois seek a waiver from the federal government, like Rhode Island has done,
okay.
and move to a system where we use state and federal Medicaid funds to pay for people to be on private insurance. Those who are the truly needy, don't have any way to cover the cost of their health care, get fully subsidized insurance, all the way to the folks who are just barely Medicaid eligible, still receive a healthy subsidy, but have to cover a portion of their costs. We think that this could save a lot of money, and frankly, we think this is the only way to maintain quality and coverage under the Medicaid system.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's going to completely crowd out almost everything else in our budget, and the quality of care is going to sharply decline.
Okay. All right. Hey, and we've got a caller who has a question for you.
Sure.
Okay. Hi, Joe. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing okay.
What's your question for Colin?
I just tuned in recently, and so I didn't get any kind of background up about the Illinois Institute. Yes. Wanted to know, is there a political slant? Is this Republicans or Democrats using some sort of front committee or whatever, or is this a...
nonpartisan.
The governor sets up, or what is the Illinois Policy Institute?
There you go. Good question, Joe. What do you say, Colin?
I'd love to answer that question. We're an 8-year-old public policy think tank and taxpayer watchdog with offices in Springfield and Chicago. We are independently funded, nonpartisan, and do not seek or accept government funding of any kind. Our support, in essence, comes from literally over 1,000 active, generous donors who like what we do. We're a nonprofit and a charity like any others that's just trying to make Illinois a better place, and it's a beautiful thing that people agree to support our salaries, and they allow us to continue to do our good work. And people who are interested in contributing can go to www.illinoispolicy.org.
There you go. Is that
okay,
good, Joe? Yeah.
Well, would you say Republicans support you more than Democrats?
It's tough to say. We work with members on both sides of the aisle. We look for free market and limited government solutions to public policy problems.
Okay, so that sounds Republican.
To be certain, a number of Republicans find our ideas attractive, but we also think the government should be much more open and accountable. We are all for finding solutions to urban education problems, and our closest working partners in all of those issues have been Democrats.
I'm sorry, you're breaking up. I can't hear
well,
you.
Well, he just said when it comes to open government and transparency, Joe, that a lot of the Democrats really appreciate and work closely with them on that. So
okay.
That's
great.
Okay.
But I think a policy institute should be open and about where their bread is buttered and, you know, what the political slant is. If they have one. He says he's bipartisan and whatever. But anyway, okay, thank you.
Okay, Joe. Bye-bye. Okay, there you go, Colin.
Yeah, sure.
Are you guys pretty transparent about where your money comes from, or is...
Well, again, you know, we have over 1,000 active donors.
Mm-hmm.
About 70% of our funding comes from them. Another 30% from charitable foundations, and overall practically none directly from corporations or businesses, and we refuse to accept or even seek government or taxpayer funding
mm-hmm.
of any kind.
Yeah.
Any number of our donors is completely free to disclose their donations to the Illinois Policy Institute. Some elect to keep it private in the same way that people elect to keep their generous donations to the American Heart Association or the American Lung Association
yeah,
private.
So.
That's their prerogative, and we respect anybody's desire for privacy, but ultimately the beautiful thing about my job and the Illinois Policy Institute in particular is we get to do whatever we want. We get to follow our heart and try and pursue policy solutions that we think are going to be great for Illinois, and people have partnered with us and supported those efforts, and it's a remarkable thing to be a part of, and humbling as well.
Well, and it's been fascinating talking with you. I guess we'll close with this one thing that I found on your site, or actually it was the video that people can listen to. In 1970, the income tax in Illinois was $297 on a per capita basis after inflation. Today, it's $1,439 per capita. That's up 385%. I mean, and do we feel like in Illinois that we're getting more bang for our buck?
Makes you wonder if it was worth it in the first place.
Yeah. Wonderful. Well, Colin, we thank you so much for being our guest today. We look forward to talking with you more. And again, visit illinoispolicy.org to check out their, I mean, you're free to check out their report and determine for yourself if it's something you think is good for the state or not. We've got the link on our Facebook page, MyConnectFM. Thank you, Colin.
Thank you.
All right. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
Interesting. Anything we can do to save money. I mean, look, I think no matter what, if we can come up with some policies that require us to that allow us to reduce taxes, allow us to reduce spending,
and
allow us to reduce our debt.
And keep the core governmental priorities.
That's good for our state as a whole, I think. So good for them. 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM.